Isn't God good? Isn't God good? He is so good. He is so good. What a blessing. Well, we are still looking, and we will continue to look for the next few weeks at the Holy Spirit. I've got something I really want to share with you tonight. It has to do with His ministry to us, and we'll get into it before it's all done. I know on our study on Sunday evening, we've learned several things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, we learned that He came as a result of a promise from Jesus. Jesus promised His people that He would pray the Father and the Father would send a comforter. And that's what He came to be, was our comforter. He is the representative of God in this world around us. Jesus is in heaven at the Father's side, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here tonight. He's in all of us. He's wanting to minister to the needs of our hearts. Even if we don't know that there are needs, He does. And that's one of the things He wants to do. Now, we normally can't see Him. There have been times when we saw Him, day of Pentecost. The people who were there, they saw the Holy Spirit descending as tongues of fire upon the people. And so there have been times that He has been seen and visual. In our relationship with Him, He's not so much visual, but we are aware of His presence and what He is doing. And He works to provide in each of our lives, excuse me, He provides fruit to the glory of God. And we learned a couple of years ago, actually we learned about, it's been almost 5 years, folks. I don't know if you remember that we go back that far. But 5 years ago we studied the Holy Spirit and we learned and we memorized Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's to be reflected in each of our lives. And if we will let Him, He will reflect that. He will help us to love each other. He will help us to love people around us, people that we even don't know. But we will feel compassion, and that's actually a form of love for them. Jesus, what do we know about Jesus in His ministry? So many times the Bible says, and He had compassion on him. That means He loved him. And we're to love people. There are so many people for us to love. There's the, and I have to be careful of the language I use. There's the elderly woman at Walmart who sits out there where you drive out onto the road beside there, and she's got her sign, you know, homeless, need help, and we're to have compassion for somebody like that. Yes, there are con people around, there are, but if you will let the Holy Spirit in you direct you, He will direct you about the ones to love. I know we were driving one day and we pulled up and Connie saw someone and the Holy Spirit spoke to her and so she did what the Holy Spirit told her to do and folks, we just have some tremendous opportunities. Wednesday night, as we talk about some of the things that we can do as a church, some of the things that where we can reach out into the community, you're gonna be surprised, and I hope blessed, at how each of you can get involved and participate. And there's gonna be opportunities for everybody. But one of the things is that when the Holy Spirit comes into us and we are born again, something happens. Paul wrote about it to the second in his epistle, the second epistle to the Corinthians in 5:17, when he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are become new. If you're still the same old person you were before you got saved, you didn't get saved. But if you're different, and it's not anything that you're doing, it's the Holy Spirit. He's made you a new creature in Christ. So remember that if a person's life is not new, they've not been saved. And this is a very important point. It might bring a question about someone's salvation. Have you ever dealt with somebody that said, "Well, I want to be saved, and I'll go ahead and pray with you," but you don't see any change in their life? Have you ever wondered, what did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? What didn't I do? What didn't I explain right? And that's why we're all fearful. At least many of us are. I am. When I'm dealing with a person about their salvation, I am fearful. I don't want to make a mistake that would cost them eternity. But the Holy Spirit is the one who saves them. It's not me. And it's not you. And so don't be afraid. Go ahead and tell them. And that's one of the things we're going to be able to do after this thing, as it's passing and as we're getting out and more in public, is telling people about how they can be saved. And there will be a change. Now, we live by the Bible, by the Word of God. The Word of God, we have to remember, was given us by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the men who wrote it. It was God's Holy Spirit who inspired it. And we have several places where it tells us about this. We have the parable of the sower, where Jesus was talking about the word being sown and the different grounds that it fell on. We're going to address that in a minute or two. But I want you to think about this, what the Scripture tells us about itself. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That means the Holy Spirit. And all Scripture, not part, all of it. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, that doesn't mention the Holy Spirit. It just tells us that the word is given by inspiration of God. Peter addresses it more directly. Someone might say, "Well, that passage didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit." Here's what Peter says, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." There you have it. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. So, if we go by this book, we will be doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now, this is an important part of our study on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. So, He was the source and the power to inspire men to write. I sometimes wonder how some men can write so many books, but if they have inspiration, that would be. But God sent the Holy Spirit to write His word for us. Not for anybody else, for us. And He directed the writers to write exactly what God intended men to know about Him. So, Remember, understanding that the word was given by the Holy Spirit, as we begin to think about then the parable of the sower, that also applies to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to go there tonight, Luke 8, Luke chapter 8. And we're going to look at first four verses, or verses 5 through 8. Luke 8, 5 through 8. This is Jesus teaching his disciples. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He wanted his disciples to understand the part that the Holy Spirit had in this. Because when you witness, it shouldn't be you, it should be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So, then Christ explained it to his disciples, what this parable was really all about. We find that in verses 11 through 15 of Luke chapter 8. Luke 8, 11 through 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. He wrote it. He inspired it. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. Now notice this. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil does not like the word of God. He hates it. He's going to do everything he can to distort it and to stop it from being disseminated. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. All churches see this. They see people come in, become a part of the church, and then they disappear. Where do they go? That's what happens here. They become involved in a time when there is some effort required. They're not willing to make it. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. They never, ever lead anyone to Christ. I've talked to folks who were in their 80s. How many people have you led to the Lord in your lifetime? None. That wasn't what I was called to do. That's wrong, folks. We're all called to bring fruit to perfection. Then verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. That's the key right there. Keep it. If we keep the word, we're not going to violate it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Now, I want us all to agree on a couple of things. God's word is perfect. There's no contradictions. And it's powerful. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now it will do that for you. It will do that for me if we let it. And the only way we can let it is to spend time reading. Spend time in the Word. I don't memorize like I used to. But that's one of the ways of keeping the Word available to us, because I don't always go around with a Bible in my hand, neither do you. But every once in a while, you run upon somebody and there is an appropriate verse that you can give them that will be used of the Holy Spirit to bring them into conviction. So the work of the Spirit is to use us to spread His Word. And if we look at verse 12 of Luke 8, we'll see that it's possible for the devil to interfere with us. And it's unless we have to be prayed up that this doesn't happen. There are people who are neutral as far as faith comes. They hear that would be your second group, the ones that they on the rock. They never really let the Word take root in their hearts. And early in my Christian life, once I had accepted Christ, I was still wanting to live my way rather than His way. And I still wanted to have the things I wanted. I still wanted my desires and my appetites satisfied. And I was immature. As we have grown, as you have grown, we begin to spend more time in the Word. We begin to spend more time obeying the Word. And so we're not in that second group. And so we're not neutral. You can't be neutral to the Word of God. You're either for it or against it. The third group is the most difficult to reach because they have so many things and so much stuff. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, Diana. if your toes hurt, that's not me, okay? Many of us collect stuff. I used to collect stuff, okay? In fact, when Connie and I first went to the mission field, we had to hire a warehouse to put the stuff in. I had a stainless steel woks. I had Chinese cooking equipment. I had all kinds of stuff that was left over from business. And it was just too valuable to do anything, you know, to throw away or anything. And so we dutifully every month paid the fee on our warehouse. And finally, after a couple of years, I decided, you know, that's just stuff. And after I made that decision, God sent a buyer for it. Once we put Him first, He takes care of everything. I want to say that again. Once we put Him first, He, not us, He takes care of everything. And He does it through the Holy Spirit. Now, each of you, and this is what I really am excited about tonight, that I really want to share with you tonight. Each of us, myself included, we have a threefold relationship with the Holy Spirit. You may not realize this, but wherever you go, whatever you're doing, the Holy Spirit of God goes with you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first relationship, with you. Paraclete, come alongside. And that is the job of the Holy Spirit, is to come alongside us to be our helpmeet. That's why Jesus sent him. When Jesus was here, he helped his disciples. He's not here anymore. but the Holy Spirit is. So one of the relationships that the Holy Spirit has to each of you is that He is alongside. He is with you. That with you brought conviction to begin with, that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you were a sinner. That's with. He's working from outside to change things, to make you aware of things that normally we would not be aware of. With us. John tells us this in John 16, 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus keeps his word. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. What was your first relationship to God? It was one of conviction from the Holy Spirit about your sin, about my sin. Now, at that point, I still didn't know what I could do about it. Live a better life? Do more good? No, that doesn't work. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. This is Jesus talking. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And Jesus judged him on the cross. So he explained to his disciple that when he went away, he was going to send someone else to minister to them. Now, we have to acknowledge that Jesus explained to his disciples about the ministry of the Spirit. Look at verse 9 of chapter 16. He convicts us of our sin, and that's why we first turn to Jesus, because the Spirit brought conviction to us while we were still unsaved, while we were still sinners. And once he had convicted us of sin, he brought to us the answer. He brought to us the answer of how to deal with that sin. In my case, it was a young woman, a year younger than me, that told me what I had to do, that I needed to believe on Jesus, that I needed to accept him as my Savior. Somebody told you that. I don't know if it was a mother, grandmother, pastor, but somebody told you that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you probably wouldn't be here tonight. And then the Holy Spirit put that person in your life. I'm looking forward to Diana sharing with us some of the ways that the Holy Spirit has been working in her life and some of the things that he has been doing. Now, the Holy Spirit brought answers to our problems. Look at verses 14 and 16 of John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He guides us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us an understanding of what is going to happen. Then verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Why is it so hard for us to understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us? Why is it so hard for us to let him impart faith to our lives? It tells us, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He gives us the faith to make the decisions that are necessary for us to be successful. So that's the first part of the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit. He is with you, always, wherever you go. The next part is just as important. He is in you. He lives in your heart. Not this organ that pumps the blood, but he lives in the very center of who you are. With and then in. And so now he lives in you. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So once we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves from with to in. Now he's still with, but he's also in. And so he is in us. Romans 8, 2 through 5 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So in Romans 8, 2 through 5, it tells us that he is in us and that he is wanting us to walk with him. Connie and I will be married in November. I think it's 57 years. I got it right? Okay. I go home tonight? Okay. Some of you men will understand what I say. We all have different paces that we move at, different paces that we... There are times that I will tell her to hurry, and I don't see any difference. I see a couple of husbands jabbing their wives, okay? Unless, I can think of two times in our lives where I didn't have to tell her to hurry. If she's getting wet or getting cold, she can move. That seems sometimes frustrating. But, you know, she has as much of the Holy Spirit as I do. And he is the one who moves her to be the person that she is. And if I'm not willing to accept that, shame on me. Because I have the same Holy Spirit in my heart. And something that I learn, and it comes from the Holy Spirit, remember the fourth item, long-suffering, patience. So for 57 years, I have suffered along. I hear her being encouraged back there. No, I'm so glad God gave her to me. I really am. And she and I kid each other, make fun of each other sometimes, amongst ourselves. God wants to use each one of you, and he, through the Holy Spirit, is preparing you for what he wants you to do. There is something he wants you to do. And so that's the reason that he is also in you, not just with you. He is in you. And then there is a third relationship that we all must be aware of from the Holy Spirit. The third way that he relates to us is there are times when he comes upon us in power to accomplish some purpose of God. There are times when he gives you special wisdom about a situation. If you listen, great. If you don't listen, you'll have problems. But he anoints us to do what God requires us to do. Would God ask any one of us to do something we couldn't do? If he did, he would make it possible for us to do it through the Holy Spirit. I'm not the brightest bulb on the street. But there are times when he lets me know, don't do that. And he does the same thing for you. I shared with you a while back about the woman in Scotland we ministered with who kept saying, mind the checks, mind the checks. The Holy Spirit checks us. He said, don't do that. If we do it, we find out why he said don't do that. I'm going to use myself as an example. We had the motorhome parked out here, and we were cleaning it up again. Pollen and everything. I got up on the roof to check for leaks, and I found a couple, and so I decided I would fix them. And I kneeled on my left knee in order to get down to do what I needed to do. And the Holy Spirit had told me, don't do that. And now I pay a price. And it's not her fault. That's the disappointing part of it. I can't blame her. It was my fault. I knew not to do it. The Holy Spirit told me not to do it. And he's going to do that with each of you. There are going to be things that he's going to tell you, don't do that. And sometimes it's almost audible. You know, don't do that. But we go ahead and do it anyway. You know why? Because we're stupid. No, we're not wise. Not wise. There's a difference. We need to listen because he is with you, he is in you, and he can be upon you to do whatever it is that God is requesting that you do. Whatever it is that God calls you to do, the Holy Spirit will be upon you to empower you to do that thing. Now, that's some of the miracles that occurred in the early church and why they are no longer necessary and why they are very rare in occurrence today. Because he was demonstrating for the people of the time of the early church, the first century church, that he was a special power of God. He was able to do anything. He would make it possible for them to speak another language that they had never been educated in, and to tell people about the glories of God and the what they needed to do to get saved. He doesn't do that today. We don't need the evidence. We have so many other kinds of evidence. Now, there are times when he does, he will enable someone to speak a language that they don't speak. And I know of one occasion where that happened. Not with me, but with someone I know. Art DeMoss. I've told you this before. He was in Mexico City. Art DeMoss was the founder of National Liberty Corporation, Liberty Insurance. He was in Mexico City for a crusade. He was a brother in Christ. He invested in missions. He invested in churches. He was downtown Mexico City, walked up to a man on the street, led him to the Lord in Spanish, and Art did not speak Spanish, and he never spoke it again. But the Holy Spirit permitted him to do that. If he could do that, not then, which were probably, 40, 50 years ago, then he can do that today. But he doesn't need to. We all have opportunities to speak in a language that we know and a language that they know. And Wednesday night, we're going to address some of the opportunities that we have to reach out, not just to this community, but to communities far beyond here. And I'm excited about what God is going to do with this church and you people. He's not going to do it with me. I won't say I'm too old, but he wants to do it with you. He's got something for you to do. And if you will do it, he will use you to accomplish that. Realize this. This is why the Holy Spirit is with us, in us, and upon us. Three different relationships. 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How does that take place? It takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize how much power he can give you? You have the power. He was the instrument in raising Christ from the dead. He was the power. In the creation, he was there. He is the power of God in the world today. He is the power of God in your life tonight. He has been the power of God in your life. Let the power accomplish what it was sent to do. You know, he's right here in the sanctuary tonight. He is. He's with us. He's in us. He's upon us. For some of you, he's not upon you right this moment, but he wants to be, if you'll let him. Now, one thing about God, he never forces himself. He never forces himself upon you. He lets you make the decisions. Understanding that we might not make the right decision. Let me explain this upon you. I want you to see how this works, because there are going to be times in your life, and there will be it will come in an instant. You won't see it coming. All of a sudden, you will be in a situation, and the Holy Spirit will be upon you, and you will have the ability to do things that is not you. There's a beautiful example of it in Scripture. And I'll share it with you, and then we'll be done for tonight. There was a young lady named Mary, who you might know as the Virgin Mary, or the Mother of our Lord. She had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to share what the Scripture tells us about that. He was working in her. He was working with her. He gave her the faith to believe. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35, listen to what the Bible tells us. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Then said Mary to the angel. Angel just told her, Mary, you're going to have a child. And said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. An example of the Holy Spirit coming upon someone for a special purpose. Now at this point, Mary had several options, just like you have several options. But she didn't exercise any of them. She could have said, you're not messing with my life, brother. But she didn't. Look at the response of Mary in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Do you desire to have this relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to let him control your life? Are you willing to let him use you to glorify God? Are you willing to let him, no matter where you are in life, just getting started, midway through, toward the end, good health, bad health, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit use you however he wants? To accomplish whatever he wants, even if it sounds impossible. I can't help you choose. I can't make the decision for you. There's nobody else in this room who can make that decision except for you. It's your choice. With, in, or upon. The Holy Spirit is going to have one of those relationships with you, or all three of them, if you let him. Talk to him. See what he wants to do. You might be surprised. Father, thank you for giving us this great, unimaginable gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us your word and an understanding of who he is and what he wants to accomplish. Father, may we be willing to yield. May we be willing to surrender. And Father, nothing's impossible for you. We know that. Nothing is impossible for your Spirit to accomplish. Use us to do the impossible. Help us to reach out, especially at this time when people's hearts are somewhat tender because of fear, because of uncertainty. Help us to reach out and touch their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, go ahead of us and prepare their hearts. Then, Father, may your Holy Spirit do the work that he alone can do. And may we have the joy of seeing many folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because you sent your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Thank you, Father. Use us in this week to come. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.